I want to fuss a little more about problems with statistical control. In analyses such as the last two examples, we have statistically changed the research question. Instead of asking, what's the relationship between quiz scores and final exam scores that is independent of test-taking speed in the population represented by the sample, the question we intend to ask, what we're really asking is, what would be the correlation between quiz scores and final exam scores in the population if all members of that population had the same test-taking speed? That's what we ask mathematically. And then we sort of slide over to the other one in the discussion section. Same idea with the other more psychometric question. What's the relationship between amount of homework and test performance that's independent of motivation? What we're really asking is, what would be the correlation between those two variables in a population that the third variable is a constant? Statistical control is a holding constant. And as we talked about in the experimental and non-experimental class, holding constant is a great way to eliminate a confound. Unfortunately, it has problems for external validity. If you only run male third graders from intact families with an average salary of $200,000 or more, you don't learn a lot about the rest of the kids. Okay? And holding things constant is what statistical control does. Advantages of statistical control, because there are some and they're important. I mean, I don't want you to go willy-nilly into statistical control, trying 57 different things until finally P is less than 0.05 and going, truth! And we've all done that once or twice, and you all will too, and you'll feel guilty about it, and that's good. But there are advantages to statistical control. Sometimes experimental control is impossible. Sometimes intrusion-free measures aren't available. Sometimes we're stuck with messy, proxy, underspecified data, and control is better than nothing. Statistical control is often less expensive, might even be possible with available data if the control variables have been collected. Doing the analysis with statistical control can help us decide whether or not to commit the resources to perform the experimental control or to create better measures. This is a really important idea for graduate students and young faculty members. What can you learn from somebody else's data that they didn't? What can you add to a model? Whether it's adding to a multiple regression model or engaging in statistical control. What can you get out of that data set that somebody else didn't that will make you look like we ought to invest in your next research project? How do you come up with something new? And I will tell you that most of the time, new is found by being more complicated than the people before you. If somebody else is running a 3-predictor model, you start running 6 and 7 predictor models. You line those things up hierarchically. If somebody's doing correlations, you do controlled correlations. New information comes from the embracing of complexity. Often the only form of experimental control available is post hoc matching, because you're studying natural or intact groups. Preliminary analyses that explore the most effective variables for statistical control can help you target the most appropriate variables to match on. Can also retain sample size, that is, post hoc matching can be decreased if you don't have as many mismatches. So if you know what happens when I control for certain things, you may have a shot at controlling for them procedurally, or you may have a way of getting more information out of your post hoc matching. Something else I spent a lot of this weekend doing is looking at two waves of data to help plan the third. They were matching on some variables, but at my insistence, because they had the money, they collected a whole bunch of variables that they weren't actually matching on. Well, when you start putting those variables into multiple regressions and into statistical control and path analyses and all this stuff, you get the idea that what they were matching on for theoretical reasons wasn't a really good selection of matching variables. The variables that really define the differences between the groups are these others that they collected because somebody made them. Theory failed miserably because the theory was about one population and we're really in a different population. Basic idea. get all the data you can. Separate your analyses into good, solid hypothesis testing analyses, and then get those data and roll around in them with every statistical trick you know. Figure out what you think the real story is. Admit that the post-hoc analyses are post-hoc. Admit that they could be due to taking advantage of chance. Admit that they could be strange sampling. But hold them up as tantalizing and suggestive. And use those as leverage to go back and get better data. Because it's always about how this data set can test those hypotheses and set up the test of the next one. When you're out there and you're doing this for real, you're going to find out how horribly expensive it is to get a decent data set together in terms of real money and your time. Mm-hmm. Pat? Data's expensive. Data's expensive. And if you want to get people to let you have the data you want, you got to show them that you were right on some of your hypotheses and you've learned something cool new from the data and you want to go be right about that. That whole research loop really is how it works. Not just from the theoretical perspective of finding truth, but the very pragmatic perspective of having enough money to go back out the door. Hypothesis testing, data mining. You got to know all 12 of these hypothesis tests, all 12 of these ways of asking questions, because you're going to use all of them.